This is a Kim Monson, Colorado news briefing. CRS 140-123 decides which of initiatives 195 and 232 prevails if both pass. Initiative 195 would replace Colorado's 4.4% flat income tax, with brackets topping out at 8.40%, while Initiative 232 would cap the individual and corporate rates at 4.4%. CRS 140-123 gives the win to whichever measure draws more affirmative votes, a rule Colorado's courts have reached only after finding two measures irreconcilable. Colorado voters could see two income tax measures pulling in opposite directions on the same November 3, 2026 ballot, and if both pass, a single sentence in the Colorado revised statutes decides which one governs. Initiative 195 would strike the constitutional requirement that all taxable net income be taxed at one rate and replace the state's 4.4% flat tax with graduated brackets running from 3.70% to 8.40% and increase nonpartisan legislative staff put at $1.98 billion in its first full year and as much as $2.7 billion, allowing for forecast error. Initiative 232, filed by the conservative advocacy group Advance Colorado, would cap the individual and corporate income tax rates at 4.4% starting January 1, 2027. Wendy Warner, board secretary of the Colorado Union of Taxpayers, raised the question on the Kim Monson Show. If both the graduated income tax and the Advance Colorado one that caps it at 4.4% pass, we're going to have a conflict, Warner said. It's going to be interesting to see how that gets resolved. Kim Monson is president of the Colorado Union of Taxpayers, which opposes Initiative 195. The controlling rule sits in the election code, and CRS 140-123 states it twice, once for each kind of ballot measure. Subsection 2, which governs proposed laws, provides that, in case of adoption of conflicting provisions, the one that receives the greatest number of affirmative votes prevails in all particulars as to which there is a conflict. Subsection 3 states the same rule in nearly identical words for constitutional amendments. Article 5, Section 1 of the Colorado Constitution, which creates the initiative process, says nothing about conflicting measures approved at the same election, so the tiebreaker is a creature of statute, and the Colorado Supreme Court applied it under its former numbering, CRS 1-4113. The tiebreaker also runs provision by provision rather than measure by measure, because the rule reaches all particulars as to which there is a conflict. Getting there takes a specific finding first. The standard comes from In Re Interrogatories, propounded by the Senate. Concerning House Bill 1078, a 1975 reapportionment case, in which the Colorado Supreme Court held that when two amendments are irreconcilable, the one receiving the most votes must prevail. The court applied that standard again in submission of interrogatories on Senate Bill 9374, decided in 1993, where it said a court should not resort to rules that give effect to one provision at the expense of the other unless there is an irreconcilable, material, and direct conflict between the two amendments. The test for such a conflict is whether one authorizes what the other forbids or forbids what the other authorizes. In the 1993 case, the court never reached the vote count because it found no irreconcilable conflict between the two amendments before it. It did find an implicit conflict, and it held that the General Assembly had already resolved that one reasonably by statute, which left a middle path between harmonizing two measures and letting one defeat the other. Both cases pitted two constitutional amendments against each other, while initiatives 195 and 232 would collide in statute. A court would likely take the same harmonized first approach even so, since Colorado's commonly applied rules of statutory construction say that, to the extent possible, statutes should be harmonized and not read as creating a conflict. The two measures meet that test where their statutory provisions touch. Initiative 195 is a hybrid, since its Section 2 amends Tabor at Article 10, Section 28A of the state constitution, while its Sections 3 and 4 amend CRS 39-22, 104 and CRS 39-22, 301 to install the brackets. Those marginal rates, effective for tax years beginning on or after January 1, 2027, run 3.70% on income up to $25,000, 4.20% from $25,000 to $100,000, 4.40% from $100,000 to $500,000, 7.40% from $500,000 to $750,000, 7.90% from $750,000 to $1 million, and 8.40% above $1 million, with corporate rates on the same schedule. Initiative 232 adds a single section to the statutes and nothing else, and that section reads in full, starting January 1, 2027, neither the individual income tax rate nor the corporate income tax rate may exceed 4.4% of a taxpayer's federal taxable income. A second section sets the measure effective on the governor's proclamation and applicable to the tax year beginning January 1, 2027. The title board set title calls it a change to the Colorado revised statutes, with no mention of the Constitution. The bracket schedule and the ceiling are both ordinary statutes that collide head-on, because Initiative 195 authorizes rates that Initiative 232 forbids. Since the rates on both sides of that clash are statutory, subsection 2 is the provision that appears to reach them, and the measure with more affirmative votes would set the rates. No court has said how a measure that is part amendment and part statute gets classified under a statute that addresses the two separately. The constitutional half of Initiative 195 sits outside that trade, because Initiative 232 amends no part of the state constitution and has nothing to put up against the repeal of the one rate requirement. Since the tiebreaker reaches only all particulars as to which there is a conflict, the repeal appears to survive even in a scenario where Initiative 232 draws more votes, leaving the 4.4% cap in force with no constitutional flat tax requirement behind it. Colorado would then hold its rates by statute, which a future legislature could amend, while Tabor's separate requirement of voter approval for any rate increase would continue to apply. Balutpada reaches the same conclusion, reasoning from the fact that Initiative 195 amends both the Constitution and the statutes. The same post also describes Initiative 232 as amending the Constitution, which its filed text and its ballot title do not support. That is the reading the available authority supports, though the question is unsettled. Legislative Council staff analyzed each measure without mentioning the other. The Secretary of State's initiative pages carry status and filing records, but no guidance on conflicting measures, and the blue book that would address the question cannot exist until a measure is certified. What Initiative 195 leaves behind in Tabor is contested as well. Michael Fields, executive director of Advance Colorado, wrote in a July exchange on X reported by Colorado Politics that the surviving sentence would put in the state constitution a strict mandate that the state must tax all income, costing seniors, retirees, and military veterans their state deductions. Chris DuGru Kennedy, president and chief executive officer of the Bell Policy Center and a designated representative for Initiative 195, replied that Fields was quoting the sentence selectively. "It says to be taxed with no added surcharge," he wrote. "You can't just leave out part of the sentence." The filed measure strikes at one rate, excluding refund tax credits or voter-approved tax credits, and the words tax or, leaving a sentence that requires all taxable net income to be taxed with no added surcharge. Initiative 195 clears the ballot on a simple majority, the same threshold. Initiative 232 faces, even though initiated constitutional amendments ordinarily need 55%. the title board found on January 21, 2026, and again on rehearing February 4, 2026, that the measure only repeals, in whole or in part, a provision of the state constitution and therefore does not require a 55% majority for passage, and the Colorado Supreme Court affirmed the board without opinion on April 2, 2026, in Case 26-SA-47. The two measures would be compared on raw affirmative votes. Both camps read the tiebreaker the same way. Fields told Colorado Politics in June that the measure with the higher vote total would take effect if both are approved. The Bell Policy Center, the think tank backing Initiative 195, and a member of the Protect Colorado's Future Coalition, tells readers in its ballot guide that if both measures pass, but Initiative 232 receives more votes, new rates on the highest earners in Colorado cannot go into effect. Neither campaign's published materials address what would become of the constitutional repeal in that event, though both sides have argued at length over what the surviving Tabor sentence would require. The two revenue figures attached to Initiative 195 come from one document. The Legislative Council staff fiscal impact statement projects $1,981.1 million in new state revenue in fiscal year 2027-28 under the current forecast, and the same analysis puts the maximum at $2.7 billion once forecast error is allowed for. The title board set title opens with that larger figure. Nonpartisan staff found no fiscal impact from Initiative 232 since it caps rates at the current law figure. Statewide initiatives need 124,238 valid signatures this cycle, and constitutional measures must also gather signatures from 2% of registered electors in each of the 35 state Senate districts, according to the Secretary of State. Advance Colorado said it submitted about 190,000 signatures for Initiative 232 on July 15, 2026, and the measure sat in signature line review with a September 2, 2026 deadline. Initiative 195 had not submitted signatures and faced an August 3, 2026 deadline plus the 35-district requirement, with backers still short in individual districts in mid-July, Colorado, Newsline reported. And now, Kim's perspective. The flat tax is the one part of Colorado's tax code that treats every earner by the same rule, and Initiative 195 would pull it out of the Constitution so the legislature can sort us into brackets. I am president of the Colorado Union of Taxpayers, and we oppose 195 and support the 4.4% cap, because once brackets exist, the top rate becomes a dial that Denver can turn. Look at how much of this now rides on lawyers, courts, and vote totals nobody can predict. Read both measures yourself before November. Are we willing to endure the cost of a tax code only its drafters understand? For the full article with sources and links, visit kimmonson.com. This has been a Kim Monson, Colorado News Briefing.